We are just a few days away from Alabama and Georgia. I know you are the resident Roll Tide person in the building.
See, I
are you the
say,
only
you said it.
Are you the only it. One?
What do you mean?
In no this
Bama
building?
In this building?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I know there. What's our buddy's name in sales that is a Bama guy?
Barla. John Parla.
Well, no, I'm talking about the younger kid.
Oh, yeah. I call him Max Freed.
Yeah, Max Freed.
Yeah. He looks like Max Freed. Good kid.
Parla is he's an adopted Bama member, though. His kids go there, so yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's all right. I'll hold the fort down. It's okay.
All right. I know we've talked a lot about how they are going to have to prepare to face Jalen Milroe, who they saw in last year's SEC championship game. Carson Beck, though, really tearing it up this season. I know you had some of his numbers, Bo.
Well, he's played well in two weeks ago against Kentucky. They kind of struggled, and I think a lot of that was the offensive line. He played now in this game last year because I went through Tiff and we were kind of throwing out things about what's the difference in these two teams last year. There's a lot of differences, and what's the one something that Georgia could hang their hat on last year against this Alabama defense, which is different in a lot of ways, but this is these are two really talented defenses that we're going to see going toe-to-toe Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. But Carson Beck was extremely efficient. Last year in the SEC Championship game, he was 21 of 29 for 243 yards. Now, he didn't have any touchdowns in this game throwing the ball, and he did have one rushing. But to me, Carson Beck is going to have to do a good job of when things aren't there. Can he keep plays alive with his legs? Because I think Carson Beck is so undervalued as far as a scrambler and a runner at times.
So where does Coach Kirby Smart then see the improvement when it comes to Beck? Here's Coach.
I think he's done a better job this year with his legs. He's decided to run on multiple occasions when he's needed to. I'm sure he would say he'd like to have some throws back, but three games in last year, he felt the same way. There's some throws he'd like to have back. So I've seen a lot of Carson to know that he's in a good headspace. He's a really good quarterback. Got a lot of confidence in him.
Oh, wait a minute now. See, Mike, with stuff like this happens when – you hear Kirby Smart validate what Bo just said, and,
right.
And Bo's like, I didn't even know that this cut existed.
Yeah.
And if that is true,
well,
it's kind of nauseating that he's
I didn't.
On
let's just,
par.
I didn't
I,
know.
I agree with you, but let's not act like Bo came up with the idea that Carson Beck scrambles right
now. No, we're not.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I
mean, Kirby, we didn't invent
the concept of watching Carson Beck use his legs.
You think Rusty Manziel is the only one that's tight with Kirby? I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
And I mean, Kirby, we tight.
But I think it's a valid point. And look, I think that Bama, for the most part in last year's SEC title game, did a good job of kind of keeping Carson Beck from being able to scramble and kind of swarming in the backfield. And on the flip side, man, the matchup that you'll see with Jalen Milroe, I mean, he is a scrambler, and I think he did a lot more scrambling last year than he has done this year because they have had more designed run plays out of Jalen Milroe. So I think Carson Beck's done such a nice job of taking care of the football. That's what I would kind of highlight. They might be, I think, one of only two offenses in the country still that don't have that turnover. When you talk about Georgia's offense, I think that goes back to the leadership that he displays at the quarterback spot. And I think that Bama's going to have their hands full trying to get in the backfield and affect him this weekend.
Should be some good quarterback play from both sides. And I'm glad you brought up Milroe because Kirby Smart talked about what it's like preparing for him. And it's not an easy task.
Yeah, if you could simulate this guy, then he would be in the transfer portal somewhere because he would be playing. You know, like he would be on a team somewhere playing because there is no simulation. I think that's the problem. He can go as fast backwards as he can go forward. I've seen him get out of jams, straight ahead, backwards, elite quickness. When you see him in person on the field, he's very thick and very hard to tackle, but yet has a bazooka for an arm.
He sounds like he's talking about playing NFL blitz. Yeah, he used to backpedal. He used to play NFL blitz and backpedal as fast as you could, then chunk it up in the air. That's what Kirby sounds like he's talking about. No, but I think it's true. I think that Jalen Milroe, look, I'm not going to sit here and act like he's the Heisman Trophy winner right now. He definitely does have some deficiencies in his game. I think that even, you know, most people with crimson-colored glasses like myself would point to the fact that the middle passing game, the over-the-middle stuff, the crossing routes and everything else haven't been exactly tearing it up this year. But with his legs and his agility, he is definitely dynamic. And they have – Kalen DeBoer and his staff have leaned into that more than I think Tommy Rees and Nick Saban did last year, of saying, look, man, let's empty out the backfield. Let's run a counter play up front, and let's see if anybody can stop him when we've, you know, completely emptied the box. Let's go five wide and line up the receivers as close to the sideline as we possibly can, and then let's take Jalen Milroe right down the middle and see if anybody can tackle him.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's one of those things where, oh, they're in man? That middle's open? Bye. Take off. See this. If you drop back and you see the middle of the field open, what are you doing other than running? You're not. You're running. Go get your 7, 8, 10. And as fast and as athletic as he is, he can get down, Mike, after a 7, 8-yard gain. And that's a chunk play. In a run game, that's what you want. I like the fact that they've leaned into it. I was listening, I think it was Cole Kublik talk about him a couple weeks ago after the Wisconsin performance. And he's like, basically just kind of and saying a lot of what you just said, who cares if you're not throwing across the middle efficiently as you want to be? I don't care.
Yeah.
Take the run play or take the big chunk, because he's so good down the field. And now he's got, honestly, a guy that at the end of the season we're going to talk about being one of the three best receivers in college football, I think. And that's at Ryan Williams.
Yeah, and they've got a pretty good receiving core that I don't think a lot of people expected them to have. Kendrick Law, Jeremy Bernard, other guys like that. I get asked the question a lot. How is Georgia going to defend, you know, Jalen Milroe in this new style Alabama offense? I don't think there's one right answer. I think you have to do everything. I think you have to have some man and zone mix. I think you have to have a spy. I think you have to have a double spy. I think you rush three. I think you bring six. I think you try to confuse the running backs in the backfield and blitz pick up. I don't think there's one singular answer. I think that everything has to be different, play in and play out. It's not like you're just going to go, well, we're going to stay a nickel, run a 4-2 front, and just see what happens. Nah, man, you got to be able to mix it up when you have a quarterback that's that dynamic with their legs. Otherwise, you know, you run man coverage, run everybody off, and Jalen Milroe takes off and picks up 30. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of that chess match of how each of these quarterbacks is defended, because they are both so good at what they do.
There's another element in all this that really no one can prepare for, and that's Tropical Storm Helene that's moving in. Of course, away from the game, you hope everybody stays safe that is in the eye or in the surrounding area of this storm, but it possibly could have an impact on Georgia travel plans. Mike, I want to ask you a question, but first I want to hear what Kirby Smart has to say about how it could affect what they do.
Yes, I understand it. We've been following it and watching it. Listen, our in-house people in Delta, it looks like it's trending more and more eastward, which may affect us, but less and less effect towards the game. My biggest concern is the travel and our travel arrangements. Being able to get there in a convenient way is my concern right now.
So as a player, former player, Mike, and I don't know if you've dealt with it just on the college level or if you dealt with it NFL-wise, hurricane storms this time of year, how does it impact the preparation when you're trying to maybe even get to your location?
Well, I think it all depends on when the storm's going to hit, right? And I think if you're Kirby Smart, and he mentioned Delta right there, you know, he's probably calling up Ed Bastian or somebody like that. Listen, and I joke, but Nick Saban has definitely done that before. I know that Kirby probably has too, where you call up Delta and you go, look, what can we do here? I think the thing you might see from Georgia, I think it's a little bit frightening, is that maybe you leave a day early or something like that, or you know, you have to get over there and do your walkthrough a day early or whatever it may be. I think that that's one of the things that will get you out of pocket, although I think the leadership in Kirby and Carson Beck is good enough to not let that affect you too much. But this is something that every single year this happens, right? And I distinctly remember, I think it was actually my first collegiate game, and we were playing maybe Tulane or Southern Miss or somebody that was affected by Hurricane Katrina at the time. And we didn't even stay in our team hotel the night before on campus, because we were leaving those rooms free for people that were evacuating. And it was like, dude, it was my very first game. They're like, hey, by the way, you're staying at the dorm this week. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. This happens, unfortunately, more times than people understand. I just think when the microscope is on the game like this, and you wonder kind of what the backup plan. I think the backup plan right now would be for Kirby and this team to get out a little bit early and to make sure they're settled in wherever they need to be west of where this storm looks like it might go, and so they can kind of settle in and get mentally prepared and not have to worry about all the logistics behind it.
Yeah, and then you get to the game and how which team can handle a wet, sloppy field better. You know, that's kind of the thing. I just go back to this game last year, and I remember I think we might have been playing the Jets the next day, and Arch and I were watching a game in Jersey together. And I just don't – it's so rare that you see two teams that are so fast, their perimeter defenses getting to the edge. Neither team could run outside on either one. It was just so ridiculous how well – this game could end up being kind of a little bit if the weather is bad, it could be one of those little, you know, low-scoring games. And I think you have to go to home field. And I just think because I do believe Jalen Milroe, as well as I talked about Carson Beck's legs, is a better quarterback with his legs. If he protects the football, I think the advantage would go slightly to Alabama.
I don't know if it's that easy because I think you do rely on Jalen Milroe's legs. I don't know if Jalen Milroe is a great runner. He's not great at change of direction, in my opinion. And so I think that the change of direction thing, when it is a wet and sloppy field, plays into the dynamic. If he does get loose and tries to stick his foot in the ground, is he going to have his footing? And if he can't do that and he starts to second-guess his footing and he's not scrambling the way he has in the past, does the advantage go to Carson Beck in Georgia? Because they are not a scrambling team. They are a team that's going to try to run the ball right down in the middle of the field. And Bama has struggled at times this year stopping plays like that up the middle against South Florida and Wisconsin. So I don't know. I don't know who the advantage lies to in that situation.
This is one of those games, if I was doing sideline, they'd be telling me, go look at the player's cleats. Yeah. Go look at the cleats.
Go pick
see
up
if there's
a clump
any
of grass,
changes.
Tiff. Are they seven studs or just normal?